The Clinton administration says most members of Congress appear to be putting political posturing aside and are ready to approve an amended financial bailout package. But Diane Lim Rogers says that'll require whoever wins the presidency to tighten the belt once a new administration is in place. Rogers served on a University of Illinois panel today on the country's prospects for a healthy economy. She says the U.S. financial crisis has reached a breaking point, and it served as a wake-up call to both politicians and the American people.
In this case, we've been borrowing beyond our means, but that means that there's only upward pressure on the cost of borrowing, and there's a tightening of the credit that's available in the economy as a whole. And that's a good thing in the sense that we've reached our limits, and the market is telling us we've reached our limits. So we won't get there. We won't let the sword drop, so to speak.
Rogers is currently chief economist with the Concord Coalition, a not-for-profit advocacy group. Meanwhile, she and another panelist, Robert Carroll, with the Tax Foundation in Washington, agree that neither presidential candidate have come forth with a tax policy that the country can afford. Carroll says Barack Obama and John McCain's plans are out of balance, anywhere from $3 to $5 trillion over a 10-year period. Even without a financial crisis, Carroll says the candidates likely wouldn't be able to follow through on everything they've promised. Illinois' monthly gauge of economic performance took a dive in September. The University of Illinois Flash Index suggests the state's economy is still in a growth mode, but barely so. With any number over 100 signifying growth, the September reading was 101.1, the lowest level since 2004. Index author Fred Gertz says the more than 1-point drop in the last month is a sign that economic worries are starting to catch up to the state, which hadn't been as hard hit by the national slowdown. The Illinois Environmental Protection Agency will continue testing levels of drugs in state water supplies. Amanda Vinicky has more.
After a national media report raised public concern about unsafe traces of pharmaceuticals and other personal care products in water, the state EPA surveyed a handful of lakes and rivers. Tom Hornshaw heads up the testing unit.
You know, the initial look that we took at it says there really isn't much of a problem.
But Hornshaw notes that survey was completed in March, when heavy rains would have caused any traces of medications to be diluted. He adds that study didn't cover a wide geographic spread and only tested for about 50 chemicals, not including some popular drugs like Valium or more potent ones used for chemotherapy. Hornshaw says that leaves open great uncertainties. He says Illinois' EPA plans to do another round of sampling, but will have to wait. He says river and lake levels are again high. He says when it's time, he wants to see sampling for a wider variety of drugs. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Police in Urbana are trying to determine if there's a connection between three central Illinois sexual assaults in the 90s and a Florida rape that led to the arrest of a former Illinois football player. Prosecutors in Florida say 38-year-old Stephen Fagan is being held without bond on preliminary charges of burglary and sexual battery in a June 2007 rape in Pompano Beach. Sheriff's investigators in Florida working with Urbana police say DNA taken from the Pompano Beach crime scene matches evidence collected from an Urbana rape reported in 1993 and two more in 1995. Fagan attended Illinois from 1989 to 92. He has not been charged in Illinois. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
Support for WILL comes from Commerce Bank. One half of all business income is produced by small business. Small business is big business. Commerce Bank is celebrating this engine of the American economy during Small Business Appreciation Month through October.
It's 5:34, and in the weather office is AM 580's Mike Sola with a look at our forecast.
Thanks, Tom. Still a little bit of light rain across north-central Indiana, stretching all the way down to maybe within 50 miles of the Indianapolis area, but most of the precipitation very, very light and in just a pretty narrow band as winds rolling over Lake Michigan pick up enough moisture that we can call it lake effect showers, not lake effect snows. But boy, things will be getting cold again tonight as low temperatures will be dropping all the way down to between 37 and 43 across the two-state area. Exception will be in the Chicago area around Lake Michigan. The lake waters were warmer than that, so that will add a little warming factor across areas near Lake Michigan. And as far as the scattered showers, they'll be pretty much confined to northern Indiana, but across northern sections of both states and through central Indiana, it will remain mostly cloudy tonight. Elsewhere, clear to partly cloudy, and the further west you go, it looks like the clearer the skies you will find. Tomorrow in far northern Indiana, again, mostly cloudy with a few showers. Elsewhere, partly to mostly sunny. And highs tomorrow, pretty much the same range as today, from 58 in far northern Indiana to around 70 in far southern Illinois. Champaign-Urbana, partly cloudy tonight, the low around 40, the wind out of the northwest dying down to 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mostly sunny for Thursday, the high 64 on a west wind at 8 to 16 miles per hour. We'll see a few more clouds tomorrow night with a low of 43, and then the clouds and sunshine will also bring a chance of a slight chance of a passing shower on Friday with a high temperature 66. Friday night, partly cloudy, the low 45, and Saturday, partly to mostly sunny, and the high temperature back to around 72 degrees. Currently, we have 63 degrees on Friends Plaza with 63 at Willard Airport at the top of the hour with a dew point temperature of 39 degrees. I'm Mike Sola.
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Last week, many business groups stayed on the sidelines as the financial bailout was debated. Well, now they are gearing up to play a more active role. As NPR's Chris Arnold reports, business groups are scrambling to convince lawmakers that the troubles on Wall Street are hurting the rest of the country, too.
There's been a lot of anger and frustration coming from people who don't see why their tax dollars should go to bail out Wall Street, especially when many of those financial firms